But I believe God has a word, a very short word. But I believe God has a word. We're a word church. And I believe God has a very short word. So if you'll be patient, I promise you, I respect your time. I respect your time. And I promise you, I have no desire to be lengthy. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. I need your help. You know, I was thinking about this the other night. We preach salvation so much, and you never can go wrong preaching salvation because there may be somebody that needs Jesus as their Savior. But let me ask you this question. As a Christian in here, and I'm not going to pass the mic around, I just want you to speak up. What do you think are some of the hardest things about being a Christian? Okay, we know it's an awesome thing. We know it's a wonderful thing. We know we're amazed to be a Christian. We're privileged to be a Christian. It's a wonderful life. It's the best life. But it's not Disney World, so I want to ask you, what are some of the hardest things? Being different in the world. What else? What? Forgiving people. Accountable. Being held accountable. What else? Just life pressures, jobs, finances, that sort of thing. What else? What was that one? Being judged and laying your pride down. I think those are good things. Anybody else? Temptation. Just say laziness? That's a good one. Somebody else? Pride, we've said that a couple times. How about this? How about when you want something or you pray for something and you want it so bad and you've been praying so long and you come to church and you give your life to Christ and you ask the pastor to pray for you and you come up and you get anointed with oil and you're believing with all your heart you're going to get it. But it doesn't come. When or how we want it. God, save my child. God, give me a job. God, take away this pressure. God, heal this person. God, take away this addiction. God, don't let me have to face time or serve time. God, get me out early. God, do this. God, do that. God, save my marriage. God, do this. Or God, do that. And you feel like you've done your part, and it doesn't go the way you want. Is that tough? And how many knows that causes a lot of people to turn and walk away? You see it in this, in ministry, where people come and they come with a great cause on their heart and they pour themselves out. But when it doesn't go like they want it to go, we get discouraged. And many sit down and quit. So I have a quick word, just a quick word in 1 Kings. If you have your Bible, 1 Kings 18. Every time I open my Bible, I got stuff falling everywhere. Huh? Maybe so. 1 Kings 18. Very brief. If you have it, once you get it, we're going to be reading from verse 41. You can stand for the reading of the word if you'd like. I'm just going to read one verse. Just one verse. If you have it, say amen. All right, I'm going to read. Then Elijah, say Elijah, said to Ahab, go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. I'm going to read it one more time. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. You may be seated. Now, everybody knows that Elijah was a powerful prophet, one of the most famous prophets of the whole Bible, the Old Testament. He was a mighty man of God. He performed many miracles. He had swag. He called down fire from heaven. He mocked other gods. He was a man of God. And as a prophet, he would communicate from God to the people. But how many know this, that Elijah served God in a time of great drought? His ministry was not in a prosperous time. He was not really a prosperity preacher. He served in a time when the whole nation was in drought. It was a hard time. There was no water. And how many knows in Bible times you didn't go turn on your spigot to get water? You didn't go to McDonald's to get a hamburger. You know, we're spoiled people. I can get a hamburger at 2 o'clock in the morning in Wise, Virginia. True story, when I first moved back here from Charlottesville, my first little house was in Coburn. And they didn't even have a 24-hour gas station. And when I get thirsty at night, if I was staying up studying files or something, and I wanted a little caffeine, a little Coca-Cola, I'd have to go find a Coke machine at the Family Dollar to get a drink in Coburn, Virginia. Now you can get a hamburger at 2 a.m., I'm sure, in Coburn, Virginia. So we live in a time of instantaneous, but how many knows in Bible times a drought was a very serious thing? If there was a drought, the animals would die. People couldn't drink, they couldn't eat. All the food sources, the agriculture, the plants would die. There would be no gardens, there would be no food, there would be no produce. Disease would start to spread. It would be a tough time to live in a time of drought. On top of that, there was a wicked woman named Jezebel. And what she did is she was going around just killing Christians. We think we got it bad now. Oh man, somebody might mock me for my faith. They were killing people for their faith. They were rounding up Christians and killing them. And there's still places on this earth where that happens. So I don't really worry too much if somebody mocks me for my faith. Because I do have the freedom to stand and preach the gospel in a pulpit without being killed. Maybe a few stones will get thrown at me from time to time, but no swords will cut off my head. We are a blessed people. But Jezebel was killing Christians, and it was a time of drought. It was so bad that the king was sending people to look all across the land just to get little pieces of grass for his horses. Can you imagine that? Go search for a piece of grass. That's a tough time. It was so bad. There was a man named Obadiah. Because he valued God's word, he didn't want to lose God's word, and he would hide away prophets. Hide away prophets and sneak him water so they could still maintain communication from God. It was a tough time. How many know sometimes we go through tough times? Sometimes we go through spiritual droughts. It's not always going to be milk and honey. It's not always going to be just, wow, wonderful. We're dancing in the streets and the rain's pouring. Sometimes we go through drought. Sometimes it seems like it's hard to eat. Sometimes it seems like it's hard to drink. Sometimes it don't seem like there's enough on the plate. Sometimes we get desperate. Sometimes things don't go our way. Sometimes the thing we pray for don't happen, and it feels like we're in drought. And that was the time of Elijah. But this mighty man of God did something pretty amazing. He stood up in a time of drought. See, what we want to do, we want to be like the weather rock. You ever seen one of those old stupid prank things, weather rocks? Yes or no? You know, it's a gag gift. It's a gag gift. It says it's a weather rock. It says you sit it outside. If it's wet, it rains. If it's dry, it's hot. If there's snow on it, it's snowing. That's us sometimes. God, we're happy when you pour out our blessings. But how about having a little faith to stand up when it's dry, when you ain't seen rain for 40 days and 40 nights, and say, I hear a mighty rainstorm a-coming. It don't take much faith when the rains are pouring, when you get the promotion, when your child just walks to an altar. It don't take a lot of faith to shout to the Lord. But I'm telling you, when time is hard, you stand up and proclaim that the rain is going to come. But he did something pretty cool. He didn't say, I see rain coming, because he couldn't see nothing. It was dry. He said, I hear rain coming. I ought to say, that means he was in tune to the voice of God. Blessed are you, Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven. Sometimes you got to have your ear to the Lord so that when you don't see things, because your eyes are going to fool you. Your eyes are going to fool you. This world is temporal, and Satan is of this world, and your eyes are going to fool you. But if you have your ear to the voice of the Lord, You can hear what's going on. Sometimes you gotta hear what's going on when you can't see what's going on. So Elijah said, there's a mighty rainstorm coming. That takes faith. His people were dying. To stand in a place where your people are dying and stand in the gap and say, you know what? It might not be good right now. It might be hard right now. It might be tight right now. But to stand and proclaim to that person that rain's coming, that's a powerful thing. And that's what Elijah did. So he did something pretty cool. He went up on the mountain and began to pray. Because he just spoke for the Lord. He just proclaimed that better days are coming. He just proclaimed to a people Sunday after Sunday that the best is yet to come. So he went up on the mountain and he began to pray. Maybe everybody else don't see it, but the man of God saw it. And he went to the mountain and began to pray. He did something pretty cool that I just paid attention to for the first time reading this. I never paid a lot of attention about him going to the mountain. But Elijah actually changed his position in that situation. See, sometimes we want the rain to fall, and sometimes it will fall where we are. But sometimes we got to change our position relative to God. Sometimes if you're in a dry situation, you must ask yourself, do I need to change my position? Maybe physically, maybe spiritually, maybe both. But do I need to change my position? So Elijah changed his position and he shortened the distance between him and God. He shortened the distance between he and God, and he went up on a mountain and he began to pray. And he took his servant with him. And he said, servant, and this is what God says to us today. He says, servant, he says, Roman, he says, Willie, he says, Jody, he says, Josh, he says, Bree, go look out across the sky. Go look out across the skyline. He told him to look towards the sea. We don't have a sea here. But go look towards the mountain range. Go look down towards Plow Valley and tell me if you see any rain. Because my people are dry and hungry and thirsty. And so the servant went and he looked. And he just heard the man of God give him a word of encouragement. He just heard the man of God say, there's a rainstorm coming. And he goes and he looks. Maybe he was hoping, man, I'm going to go up on that mountain and I'm going to look at Chris and I'm going to see the rain and my children will get to eat and drink and I'll save my family. But he looked out on that mountain, out towards the sea and the sky, and there wasn't a cloud in the sky. Hot, dry, wasn't unchanged. And that's where a lot of us are. A lot of us, we come to God, and the man of God stands in the pulpit and he proclaims things for us. He proclaims things over our life. He gives us encouraging texts. He says things and it sounds powerful and it pumps us up. But we get out on Monday morning and we survey our life, we just don't see sometimes things changing. And it gets tough. We want to quit. So the servant came back and don't you just see him in your mind being kind of dejected? Kind of dejected, kind of disappointed? Like when you give that prayer request for somebody to live and they die. Disappointed. He came back to Elijah and he said, Master, I see nothing. If we're honest, some of us right now, when we look with our physical eyes, see nothing. So Elijah said something powerful, and that's what I'm going to say to you today. You know what? You're still in a drought. You still see the same old stuff. Just go back and look again. Because I hear a mighty rainstorm coming, and it's the voice of God in my ear. So he goes back, and he looks a second time, and I'm going to get through this. He goes back and he looks a second time. What do you see when you look across your skyline? When you look across your life, what do you see? I'll tell you, and this is not a political statement. I will never intentionally preach politics because it's all across the board. But there's so much bad news out there, man. Discourages people. You know, when I was a young man, and I'm in the 80s and 70s. Thank you, Chris. 60s. When I was a young man, news was public information. It was a 30-minute segment to give people information they might need. But it's 24/7, and it panders to whatever group we're pandering to. And it's big business, and they make money, and they make money off making us scared. Let's get real. They all do. They make money off scaring us, because when times are bad, they sell more advertisements and you watch more. So they tell us how bad things are. And when we look out along the skyline, we say, all I see is drought. But I'm here to tell you, that's not what God says is coming. Because my God says, read the end of the book. The greatest days are yet to come. The greatest things are meant to be done. My Bible has Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And my friends, that's the gospel. Translated, that means good news. That's the news I hang on to. My Bible has a man named Joel who says, in the last days, I shall pour out my spirit on all, A-L-L, all people. That's what I believe in. My Bible says, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the good things I have in store for my people. I see good news. This is the greatest time in the history of the world to be a Christian, my friend. Because we're that much closer to the coming of the Messiah. I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. So the prophet looked and he came back. He said, Master, I still don't see it. I hear you, Elijah, but I don't see it. So he says, go back a third time. You say, I've looked twice, I've been waiting twice. Go back a third time, church. What do you see? Some people say, I look out and all I see is addiction. I see a drug problem that nobody can cure. I see a drug problem. Once you're an addict, you're always an addict, they say. They say, I'm just stuck in this. People are stuck in this. And I know it can be a hard situation. But when I look out, I see that my Bible says, Jeremiah 29:11. God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you hope. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. God has made you with purpose, and there is no thing that can come between you and God. When God says move, it shall be moved. You might say it's a dark time, but I say I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. I see a restoration of families. I see the kingdom of God being realized, Father, in earth as it is in heaven. I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. It ain't no cocaine, ain't no rock, ain't no injectable, ain't no hallucinogen, ain't no synthetic, ain't no alcohol, ain't no sex, ain't no nothing gonna get in the way of the plan of God, because there's a rain coming. So he came back and said, you know what, man of God? I still don't see it. Some of you scratched your head at me, maybe like that pup Scooby-Doo. Because you say, I don't see it, preacher. So I say, go back a fourth time. Go back a fourth time. You say, I keep messing up. I've come to church 28 times. I'm embarrassed. I keep coming to the altar. Go back a fourth time, my friend. Don't you give up, because I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. Look, I keep it real. So if you don't want me to talk about touchy subjects, that's fine. But I can't do it that way. I cannot be censored what the Holy Spirit tells me. So I'm going to talk about something. What do you see when you look out across the landscape? Some people say, you know what I see? I see a racially divided country. They say, I see people don't like people because who, what the degree of melatonin in their skin or their language or their ethnicity. I'm here to tell you, you might see that, but I don't see that. I hear a rainstorm coming. My Bible says this. Jesus himself said this. Neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, neither man nor woman. Jesus came so that all God's people could celebrate in relationship to God and celebrate together. Jesus says he's coming for a bride. He didn't say he was coming for three brides or four brides. Or eight brides, or 14 different. He's not going to come 14 different times for every denomination, every race, and every color. He's coming for one unified people, and that's the people that God is raising up on this earth. I got two dogs, a yellow lab, well, lab mixed the shit. I like to tell her she's a lab mix. Poor old thing. And then I got an old black and tan coon dog. Even them two dogs are smart enough to run together. And people divide up over the color of their skin. That's ignorant, my friend. That is ignorant, my friend. That is ignorant, my friend. And that is of the devil. And if you believe that lie, then you need to repent in this place today and let the Holy Spirit enter your heart. Religious people are going to keep throwing rocks, I guess, because I ain't going to stop on that. Because I was there in the emergency. I was there on life support when that vision was birthed. And it was a vision of one people, all colors, all creeds, all sexes, united under Jesus Christ. But I'm going to do this. I don't feel like it or not. Because I stay away from controversial things sometimes. But if you subscribe, you know, you could take a verse and twist it for anything. If you subscribe to that verse that black and white folk or black and Mexican folk don't need to mingle because we're of different tribes, guess what? Ain't nobody in here part of the tribes. The tribes were the 12 tribes of Judah. And unless you're Jewish, you ain't got no tribe. We were all Gentiles. We were all infidels. There ain't no tribe of white people. There ain't no tribe of black people. We are all God's people. Jesus Christ said, I will come and be a bridge to connect all people, to restore all people to relationship to God. And this ministry has been called to be a bridge to unite people, not to divide people. We are one church, one church, one church. You say, I don't see it. I see turmoil. I say, I hear a rainstorm coming. Because God is raising up this ministry in this little area to be hope that all God's people will work together and love together and fellowship together and worship together and praise one God, one King, one Savior, one Holy Spirit together. But the servant came back and he said, Elijah, I don't see anything. He said, I still don't see it, Pastor. I don't see it, Heath. I say, go back a fifth time. He said, servant, go back a fifth time because I hear the rain. I know I hear it. I know I'm not wrong. So he goes back a fifth time. What do you see when you look out along your life? What do you see? Some people see themselves as little. We identify ourselves in defeated ways. Sometimes we see ourselves as depressed. Or as Tina said very well, we can see ourselves as poor. We can see ourselves as having less because somehow we judge ourselves by what we see on media and we see on Facebook and we see on television. And I think if I don't rock a new Lexus or I don't rock a Maserati, that I'm poor. And I hear from people all the time, and I don't insult anybody, but I hear from people all the time that have a cell phone, a media plan, a Facebook account, a car, running water, a flat screen TV, and they tell me how God needs to do it. And I know we need miracles for our bills, but I'm just saying that we get that depressed mode, that we're depressed because we don't have anything. But my God says that our Father, owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. We are a rich people. We are a blessed people. We are a people that is some of the richest people on the earth sitting in this room. Do you know that? Do you know that you are rich in this room? Here's what people say. Okay, preacher, we're spiritually rich, but that don't pay the bills. Let me explain something though. Did you know 93% of this world doesn't have running water? If I compare you to the world, every person in this room is among the richest people on the planet. Half the people, 93% of the world does not have electricity. They don't have the ability to even go eat. They have to walk. When Reinhard Bonnke goes and has revivals in Africa, they have 5 million people sometimes walk days and days, and they stand in huddles just to hear the gospel in groups. They don't have anything. The devil tells you and me what we don't have. But God says, look what you do have. You have grace. You have salvation. You have the Holy Spirit. And my Bible says He takes care of even the birds in the air and the fowls in the field. And I've not seen a single person at Lost Creek die of malnutrition. Some of us need a few months of malnutrition. And I don't make fun. I'm just saying we're blessed. Don't wear that tag. Don't let the devil put that tag on you. Wear that t-shirt. That t-shirt that says poor, that says depressed, that says less than. Because I hear a rainstorm coming that God's people are going to be blessed all over this land because of what God is doing in each of you. You guys are going to spark a revolution in this county, and I believe that. Places I can't go and he can't go, you guys are going to do it. It's sort of what it was about last Sunday, wasn't it? You guys are going to do it. We need to give you word, and you need to be fed. And that's a good thing. That's a God thing. But then you need to go out to the nation, and you need to give people hope. You need to give away some of that stuff. Don't hoard it in. Don't keep it all to yourself. Don't be a blinking light that says, downer, downer, downer. Say, my God is here to save souls and change lives and restore lives. Because my God is about restoration, not amputation, and I like that. I'll use that. So he comes back as we're finishing up. He says, I don't see it. He says, I don't see it. Do you see it? I know you hear encouraging words in here Sunday after Sunday, but do you see it? So he goes back a sixth time. He goes back a sixth time. I'm telling you, go back a sixth time. Now that's the point. Let me tell you something right here. Come to a close. People quit. They get frustrated and they quit. But here's what I ask you. How many people do you think have given up right on the verge of the miracle they've been waiting for? Did you know if that servant would have walked off that hill after 5 times and said, Elijah, man, you cool and all, but I'm starting to doubt your leadership. I'm starting to doubt whether you're here from God, Pastor, because I just don't see it that way. And you walk off that mountain on the verge of the greatest miracle of your life. I've seen it in here. I've seen it in here. You have too. People this close who came here for one purpose, one burning desire, and they start seeing evidence of it, and they back out in the last minute right before the miracle's happening. Because 6 times is enough, Pastor. He said, I don't see it. When I see graveyards, when I was a kid, I used to think they were spooky. You know? I was scared of spooks. Actually, not as much. My sister was a scaredy cat. See, she acts all tough now, like, oh, I'm Lost Creek bad. I'm tough. She was a scaredy cat. Freddy Krueger, man, she wouldn't sleep by herself till she met Will. I don't know about that. I might have messed that one up. Dad, I might have messed that one up. That punchline, I might have twisted that one around. Because she was sleeping with Mommy and Daddy. But you know what I see when I see a graveyard now? I see a sad place. You know why I see a sad place? Not because of people die. We're born to die on flesh. Our soul lives forever. What I see sad is this. I see a place where so much purpose and God dreams lays in the dirt. People that God put things on their heart to change the world and to change their situation and change their lives. And they quit after six times. And those dreams get buried in the dirt along with skeletons and bones. That's, to me, one of the sad things about a graveyard. When I played sports, I wasn't as good as everybody, but I did play a little college ball. I got a better athlete right back there, Mr. Boo Sensabaugh. But I would say this, Boo. Clay was a pretty good little pitcher, too. He's a little crazy, but he's a good pitcher. I'll say this. We never tried to leave anything on the field, did we? Because when you go home and your career is over, if you left something behind, you wasted it. You wanted to leave it all up in Morgantown or out in what's the name of that field? Norton. But what's the field they call? Lawson Fitchko. I start to say Klitschko. That's a boxer. Let me tell you something. Don't you quit on the edge of your miracle. Don't you leave nothing on the field. Don't you walk off that mountain saying that preacher, that prophet's crazy. I've checked enough and there ain't no rain coming. Because there's rain coming. So he said, go back a seventh time. And this time he looked and he saw something small. Sometimes it's the small things. He just saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. Now, if you look up in the sky, and that's the only thing, it's been dry for a long time, and you see one little cloud, you can look at it two ways. You can say, oh my goodness, there's at least some hope. Or you can say, well, that ain't going to help us. Right, Mr. Finances? Sometimes it's the small cloud that means the rain's coming. So, Elijah did something powerful. He saw that little cloud, just that little cloud, and he told the king, King, you better get yourself home because this storm's getting ready to come. Some people look at little clouds and see little clouds. Some people look at it in God's eyes and in God's voice and they see a mighty rainstorm. Where's your nut? Where's your acorn? Where's your acorn? Where's your acorn? Acorn, acorn, acorn. Do you like you do me? Watch the pastor squirming hands. Some people see a little cloud. Some people see a storm. Some people see an acorn. And some people see an oak tree. God has sent certain people in your life to intersect your life to remind you sometimes when you can't see the rain that they can still hear the rain. Sometimes God will send people in your life to annoy you sometimes to show all these acorns all over this country, to hand out nuts all over this country. Some people probably think he is a nut. But to remind people that the rain is coming. And this might look like a little nut. This might even look like a monkey butt. But this is a mighty oak tree. And I hear the rain coming. Well, they'll have to come back and ask after service. That's on the bonus seat DVD. And I did this last time with Grant. Mr. Dom, good to see you, my friend. That's out of his pocket. There's your cloud. You take that. You hang on to that. God is telling us, don't give up. So what happened? The rain fell. The storm fell. Some of you, I can tell you, you give up hope. Maybe you start to doubt. But hope's a good thing. Hope's a dangerous thing. Hope's also a good thing. Maybe the best thing, and no good thing truly dies. I'll paraphrase that. No God thing ever dies. And no God dream ever dies. A God dream always outlives the dreamer. That first quote was from Shawshank Redemption. And I know some people probably don't like that I quote secular movies or secular sports or secular music. But I'm here to tell you whatever I can use to make you understand the gospel. Because I'll tell you this, The devil has no power of creation. He never created nothing. He just perverts things of God. I say we steal it back. I say we steal back the dance. I say we steal back the movie. I say we steal back the hip-hop. Hip-hop, hippity-hop. I say we steal it back. You don't want none of this. Battle rap. Actually, I don't want any of that. I guarantee you that. That boy's good. That boy's going somewhere if he keeps his head on God. So I say we take it back. But I say this, people, don't quit. Don't give up in your dry place if you feel like you're a little dry. I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Thank you for being patient. Oh, I did do pretty good. It's not that late. God did pretty good. If you're in here and you know what drought feels like, listen, I said this last night. We do family meetings sometimes because that's important for our family. We talk about ministry and we talk about sometimes just family. But we said last night, one of the most powerful things about determining who buys into vision is whether they're willing to open themselves up. Because if you're trying to keep yourself looking perfect and shiny, you won't buy into this vision. The people who open themselves up, not to glorify their past, but to use their past to help people struggling now, those are the people that will buy into this vision and change this world. I believe that with all my heart. So I'm asking you to do something crazy today. I'm asking you to bear your soul just like I bear my soul sometimes. I'm asking you to break yourself open and don't be prideful and don't be all, oh, I got it all together today, because if we're thirsty, it's time we drink. And I would hate for us to go through drought because we're too proud to take a drink. So if you're in here today and you say, I know what drought is, preacher, I just want you to raise your hand. You say, I know what it's like to be in a dry time. I see your hands. I know what it's like when I'm wanting God to do something in my life and I'm believing it. It just don't seem to be happening as quick as I want. That it's not as easy as I want, and it just don't seem to be happening. I say, God, I want this, and God, I want that, and I'm hoping for it, and I'm praying for it, but it's just not seeming to happen as quick as I want. If that's you, just raise your hand. Ain't no shame in your game. Just raise your hand. I see you. I see you all over this room. I hear the rain for you. You see, right now, God has allowed all of us to intersect on this point. Our life is like a graph. And today, on this very date, all the lives in this room are intersecting on one point. That's no accident. It's no accident we're all here together. You're here for a reason. And I believe it's because there's a rainstorm coming and God wants to give you hope and encouragement. Not to beat you down, not to beat you up today, but just to encourage you that the rain's coming. Not to give up. Not to stop looking on time number 6, but to go back again and again and again, because I'm telling you it's coming. So I'm going to count to 3 and I'm going to do something. Almost every hand went up, or a lot of them did. I'm going to ask this whole congregation to stand. And in one motion, they're going to play, but I want them to keep it kind of low for just a minute. In one motion, I want God's people to move. I said earlier that Elijah had to change his position. Sometimes we can sit in our complacency, and there's something powerful about moving and shortening the distance between us and God. Now, I'm not saying that God's up here, not back there, but I'm saying by changing our position, sometimes that does wonders in our life. So I'm asking you to take a step of faith, and I'm asking you to come and stand around this altar as a flock, as a congregation, as a group of God's people, saying, God, we're thirsty and we're ready for the rain. God, we're ready for the rain. The preachers tell us it's coming. We're ready for the rain. And I want your rain to pour out over me. I want your grace to pour out over me. I want your hope, your mercy, your passion, your spirit to pour over me. Rain like fire in this place. Because I hear a rainstorm coming. So if you had your hand up, put it back up. I want you to make a strong allegiance. You know, there's something about putting your hand up that says, I belong. I belong. We belong together, Lost Creek. We're here together, Lost Creek. We're a family, Lost Creek. We're all one people under God, Lost Creek. Let's put our hands in the air. Let's put our hands in the air. And if your hand's tired, switch hands. I'm going to count to 3. And I want all God's people who are thirsty and ready for rain to march upon this stage. And we're going to pray. And we're going to look for the rain. 1, 2. The leaves are rustling. You know how the leaves rustle right before the storm breaks? Have you ever seen that? Can you see that right now? Can you see them wiggling in the wind? Come on, Lost Creek, get up to your feet. Three, come to this place. Come to this place. Come to the mountain. Come to the mountain. Your drought's going to end. Come to the mountain. I hear a mighty rain. I hear a mighty rain. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. Fan around. Fan around. Make room. Plow to the front. Plow to the front. Keep moving. 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 Oh, maybe today it's just a cloud the size of a man's hand. Maybe that's all you see. But I say you keep praying. I say you keep persevering. I say you seek God with all your heart. And you don't watch and see if God don't pour a mighty rain down on your life. I want to see you blessed like never before. The latter rain is the greater rain. The latter rain, Josh, is the greatest rain. The rain that's coming is the best rain you've ever felt. Oh, just give him praise. If there's somebody in here praying, pray with people. Pray with people. Agree with them. Sometimes you can be the hope. Sometimes you can be the guy with the acorn. Sometimes you can be the prophet. Tell them to keep looking. Keep looking to the sky. That's our job too. That's not just Pastor R's job. That's our job. You know, maybe we all need a pocket full of acorns. There's nothing wrong with that.